sure how you turned that light on. Good morning. You know, you're over the hill when you look both ways when you enter a room. You know, you're over the hill when you start appreciating accordion music. You know you're over the hill when you start repeating yourself. You know you're over the hill when lawn care, mowing your yard, has become an important part of your day. You know you're over the hill when you keep repeating yourself. You know you're over the hill when your social security number is only 3 digits. You know you're over the hill when you run out of breath walking downstairs. I'd like to read to you from the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, 14 verses. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will rise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the capperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of those collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Amen. The day I die, a lot will happen. A lot will change. The world will still go on being busy. People will still go on working. I'll just be a memory to those who knew me. The things that I have planned will be forgotten. My financial advisor, he won't be calling me anymore. All of the material things that I hold dear will go to my children, or next of kin, my wife Joyce, to either carry on or to sell. All of my incoming calls will go unanswered. All of the activities that I worry about, health-wise, won't mean anything. Blood pressure, cholesterol, taking medication, getting my granddaughter to cut my hair, feeling guilty about not exercising more, feeling guilty about the bad habits that I have, that will all be gone. The image that I have worked so hard to create won't matter anymore. The reputation that I've worked so hard to maintain won't matter either. These things will all be true on the day I die. There is one more thing that will happen on the day I die. All of those who really love me will grieve deeply. They'll feel the loss. They will feel as part of them has died as well. Each one of them will have wished they had more time to spend with me. Knowing this, while I'm still alive, I'll try to remember that my time with loved ones is short, because the older you get, the more you realize how fast time goes by. And I'll try to do my best not to waste 1 second of it. I'll try to not waste a precious moment worrying about all the things that will happen on the day I die. Because, you know, that is in God's hands and beyond my control. And it's real easy to waste daylight in the days before you die. Amen. Psalms, the 90th chapter, in verse 10, reads, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Joyce's granddad was born in 1895. He died 1993. He was 98. Joyce's dad was born in 1915. He died in 1982. He was 67. Joyce's mom was she was born in 1913, and she died in 2009. She was 95. My dad was born in 1913. He died at year 2000. He was 87. My mom was born in 1920, and she died year 2007. She was 86. My granddad was born in 1887. He died in 1976. He was 88. My great grandmother Floyd on my mom's side was born in 1861, and she died in 1960, and she was 99. And she came across the plains in a covered wagon to the state of Texas during the Civil War. She was just a little girl. For all of those born before 1945, we are survivors. Consider the changes we have witnessed. We were born before television, penicillin, frozen foods, polio shots, plastic, contact lenses, frisbees, and the pill. We were born before radar, credit cards, split atoms, laser beams, ballpoint pens, pantyhose, dishwashers, clothes dryers, electric blankets, filter cigarettes, air conditioners, burglar alarm systems, microwave ovens, and before man walked on the moon. We got married first, and then we lived together. How quaint can you be? Having a meaningful relationship meant getting along with your cousin. And outer space was the back of the Dream Theater. We were born before house husbands, gay rights, dual careers, daycare centers, group therapy, and nursing homes. We never heard of an FM radio, tape decks, electronic typewriters, artificial hearts, Huggies diapers, yogurt, and guys wearing earrings. Time sharing meant togetherness, not computers or condominiums. A chip meant a piece of wood. Hardware meant hardware. And software was not even a word. Back then, if it was made in Japan, it meant junk. And the term making out referred to how you did on your exam. Pizzas, Concorde airplanes, and instant coffee were unheard of. We hit the scene where there were 5 and 10 cent stores, where you could buy things for 5 and 10 cents. For one nickel, you could ride a streetcar, buy an ice cream cone, make a phone call, buy enough stamps to mail a letter and 2 postcards. You could buy a new Chevy coupe for $600, but who could afford one? And a pity, too, because gasoline was 11 cents a gallon. In our day, grass was mowed, Coke was a cold drink, and pot was something you cooked in. Rock music was a grandma's lullaby, and aides were helpers in the principal's office. Back then, we made do with what we had, and we were the last generation that was so dumb as to think you needed a husband to have a baby. No wonder we are so confused, and there is such a generation gap today. But we survived, and but what better reason to celebrate? Yes, you and I will die one day. But before that day comes, we need to live. We need to live one day at a time, because you never know when your time is up. I'd like to read Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. I've read this before, and Kay has told me she likes this, and I like it too. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in his time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. You know, when I read that scripture, there's one verse in there, time to search and a time to give up is lost. That always reminds me of my sister that died up on the mountain. And that was 7 years ago, October the 2nd of this month. And I don't know why it always comes to me on that verse. How would you like to be remembered? You know, we are remembered by our actions, the things we do, the things we say, and our attitudes. Will you be remembered as someone who was easily upset, who became angry at the drop of a hat? Or will you be remembered as someone who could laugh at their own mistakes and always had a kind word for others? Will you be remembered as one who is a cheapskate? Always sure to squeeze the last nickel out of a deal, and always making sure things go your way? Or will you be remembered as one who is generous, willing to do a little extra for others? Or will you be remembered as one who had little time for others, always too busy, always in a hurry, taking care of your own business? Or will you be remembered as one who took time to stop, pay a visit, help when help was needed, to help someone who was having a tough time? Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Psalms 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Will you be remembered as one who thought the world owed them a living? As one who was always trying to milk the system for all he could get? Or will you be remembered as one who always wanted to be a giver and not a taker? Don't wait until your obituary is in the paper. By then, it will be too late to change how you will be remembered. If you want to change that people will remember you in a positive way, take action. Change your attitudes, your actions, and your values. Take an interest in others around you and discover what is important in life. The person who becomes angry makes the situation worse. The cheapskate must realize he can't take anything with him when life is over. The person who is so busy that he doesn't see the needs around him might discover it too late that he missed the chance to make a difference. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58 says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain." You know, the guy who thinks he knows it all, he really doesn't. The braggart will find the friends that share his views are few. The freeloader will probably never have enough, because money can buy everything but happiness. The person who laughs at his own mistakes will have discovered humility. The person who learns to give will have learned the joy of sharing. The person who takes time for the needs of others will have discovered compassion and friendship. My wife, Joyce, she's about the most compassionate woman I have ever met. Amen. Most compassionate person I've ever met. She's always doing for others. She's always thinking of others, people. Not herself, others. And she's my rock. She's been my rock for 54 years. The person who shows an interest in others will have discovered love and the joy of being a giver. The person who gives to others will find the rewards very satisfying. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Isaiah 40 and verse 8 reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." The choice is in your hands. How do you want to be remembered? We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. If you have any need, please come.
Number 549 in the red.
My stubborn will at last hath killed it. Sweet will of
At this time, I'd like to call upon the chairman to come up and help us to lay by in store as we prosper.